Right. Welcome back. Did you have a good lunch? Well, I hope at least you got something to eat. And so let's continue. And I have the pleasure to welcome Vesa-Matti Hartikainen to come and speak to us about Qt, open source, Sailfish OS, and Yola. So, very welcome.
Thank you. So, my name is Vesa-Matti Hartikainen. I'm an engineer at Yola. So I do code, real stuff. Some of the stuff I show is done by me, and most of it is done by my friends. So I'm going to talk about Sailfish OS, open source, and Qt. So that's really who we are, what do we do, and how do we do it. As far as I understood from the last sessions, I guess quite many of you have heard of us already. So how many of you have heard the story of Yola, how it was founded? Yeah, so, well, my perspective on the thing is that in 2 years ago, in the beginning of 2011, Nokia was a coward. They didn't believe in them anymore. So they killed their own platforms and chose Windows. In practice, that meant that a lot of beers were drunk in Tampere, Helsinki, Oulu, and all around the world. And from those discussions, few guys in Migo decided that, hey, we are going to ship N9 anyway. The platform is great. We have seen it. Maybe we can continue doing it. It's an open source platform anyway. And they started the process of setting up a company, which became called Yola. And unlike the picture, they said that the platform was fire, but it really wasn't. So they had a good basis to start their work. And to set up a company, you need people, you need money, and you need a technology. So initially, it looked like that Migo was the technology. The people were the colleagues that were getting fired from Nokia, from subcontractors. And, you know, the money, that's something they needed to arrange. So it didn't start that day, but the process started then. And after, I don't know, maybe a year of discussions and stuff, they had enough money and enough confidence to say that, hey, we are Yola, we are going to continue the legacy of N9, legacy of Migo. And that was about a year ago when the first public tweet was said. And coincidentally, Nokia had yet another strategic change, difficult word for Finn. So they were giving up on Qt. They saw that it's not in our path in the future, which meant that they were selling Qt to Digia. And unfortunately, for example, the Brisbane office that had done excellent work on QML and Qt Mobility was not part of that deal. And there was huge talent available. And then Yola started recruiting, so there was huge talent base to recruit from, and thus we got a really nice, really talented team, which had plenty of experience of Qt. Those of you who were listening to David's Mer story just a while ago know the other side of the story. So the community had, you know, when Intel also gave up on Migo and went to Tyson and also said that, okay, maybe we don't need Qt. Then the community guys took the open source packages, started building Mer. It's the core, it's much more leaner than Migo used to be. So that is the basis for the operating system. Then there's the other project that David briefly mentioned called Nemo Mobile, which continues on the track of Migo handset release. So it was continuing doing open source release of handset packages, so you would have things like dialer, SMS, basic stuff you need in your phone. And in Jolla, that was another piece to the puzzle, and that piece is the middleware. But then, of course, as a company, you need to have something unique, especially on startup level, you need to have something unique so that we have enough funders, we have enough customers, we have enough interest, and it was seen that the user experience is something that we need to differentiate in. And luckily, again, there was talented designers available, and we knew these guys, we knew that they are easy to work with, and they can produce good innovative ideas that the previous companies was maybe too afraid to go into those directions. And after some design time, they had a UI concept ready. And at that point, there was enough engineers to start actually implementing it. So now, after 1 year, we had our public launch of the Jolla phone. This one, like a month ago, and it's a real thing. And we are on final stretch to iron out all the bugs, do the last optimizations, do the last minute new feature requests, and get it into the stores. So that's my perspective on the Jolla story. Of course, you're curious about what we do, and at this point, I would like to ask my colleague Valerio to help me to show you a bit of it. All right, can you still hear me? Okay, so that's the basic lock screen, where on the side we would have notifications. On top we have this pulley menu, and I can really pull from anywhere in the user interface. It's not like Android where I need to go up here. I can pull just here and select the most commonly needed applications. If I push up, that unlocks the device. This would be showing the multitasking applications, but I don't have any at the moment, so let's start up. One, okay, messages. And Jaakko is our designer. He has sent this kind of thing. All right, nice discussions. And here again, we do gestures. So if I want to go back, I don't have to go to the back button instead. I can just drag anywhere I want, and I'm back. If I want to go to the multitasking view, I start to push from the edge here, and now it's multitasking. And what do we have else? Let's say people. Here are our company people, and if I want shortcut somewhere, just tapping and pushing. The other thing here is what we call peaking. So we'd want to use the screen space of the device for the user content and not for the controls. So we have hidden like the network status indicators and such, but still they are easily accessible. Just push a bit, and you can kind of take a peek, what time is it, how much battery do I have, what's the network status, and then I can go back. Or if I push all the way through, I'm getting back to the home screen. Other thing that we have been doing is the multitasking. So this is the media player application. Let's pick a song, let's play it. You probably can't hear, but that's, I guess, okay.
It's not very good.
Yeah, and maybe not the best song ever, but you interact with the active cover, so you can do a gesture here. So I just push it, or I can push the other way to stop it. Or if I just tap it, then it goes back to the application. And okay, here's again pulley menu. So it's not system-wide feature, instead each application can have its own pulley menu. And the pulley menu will produce a haptic feedback and a sound effect. so that you will feel with your finger that, okay, now I have chosen the first item on the list or the second item on the list. So it's nice, and you can almost do it without watching. Another big thing that we have been working around is how to make it really personal. And we have this feature called Ambiance. So you can choose your own background picture, and based on that, you can create your ambiance in the gallery application, so create ambiance. And it changes the colors, and it changes the colors all around, so this is different atmosphere now on the device. This ambiance feature is also related to the hardware, so we will have what we call other halves, so basically back covers that are intelligent. So if you have a red cover, that might mean that it's a party profile, or it might be tied to your party profile. So it would change your ambience to the red ambience, and would change the device to your, let's say, party profile, which would maybe disable your work email, and maybe Mother calling, or something like that. So that really allows us to personalize these devices. And the back cover is also such that there are connectors that supply power to both directions and data. So we could be doing things like additional batteries or back covers that consume electricity, like, let's say, a hardware keyboard. And this is something that will be kind of part of this community, in a sense that the API will be open, and the protocols will be defined, and we hope that some other companies will also innovate in this space and produce active covers. One more thing about the user experience. So it's this. So I push from the bottom up, I get my event feed. It's quite like the event feed we have in N9, but it has one additional nice feature. So when I, tap on items by item, it shows some details about it. So here's Mark's status post from Tampere. I like it. I could comment on it, but okay, I just like it this time. And you can have other social networks as well. So in Europe, I guess we are focusing maybe on Facebook and Twitter first. And on China, we have other, like Weibo and what was the other?
Ren,
yeah. But okay, it's nice. So you can do the most often used things on your social network right from the events view instead of having to go to mobile site or dedicated application. And again, I'll just push it away. And the store story is something that we are pushing towards this social store, so that we could bind it to whatever your friends are recommending. So it wouldn't be just like Apple recommending me the latest version of iTunes or whatever, but it would be really something that comes from your friends, like this. But this is quite challenging. I think doing this right is great, but let's see how far we get. Okay. And the device is really nice. This one is a prototype, so the final device will be even better, so we will kind of get rid of a bit of bevel and maybe a couple of inches out of this, but really, this prototype already is so nice and can't wait to use this daily. All right, let's move on. So that is what we do. The device has 4.5-inch display, dual-core modern processor, 4G, some storage, nice camera, replaceable battery, the other half, and of course, Selfies OS. And in addition, we have a runtime for Android applications. So you, if you have something that you really, really need, like I think things like WeChat and that kind of applications that are coming up and really popular and only available in very, very limited amount of platforms, then you can use our Android runtime to run those. But of course, it's an Android experience. So it won't get the ambiance, it won't get the pulley menus, it won't get the active cover in the sense that you can interact with it, but of course you can see the content of the application in the active cover. I pretty much covered the user interface on the device demo, but just to kind of sum up, our target is to have it beautiful, personal, interactions via gestures instead of tapping, maximize the screen space for user content, and a kind of modern look, but not boring. Of course, everybody told me that I need to give technical details, so here they are. The user interface layer is something that's at the moment YOLLA specific and closed. That will not remain in the future as such, but of course I cannot go into details that which components will be open and which will be not open. We need to get the device out before somebody else, you know, takes our stuff and does a device with it. But I can say with high level of confidence that our QML component set, which is called Sailfish Silica, will be out open source. The one we distributed already with the Alpha SDK had the QML parts as BSD licensed. So I don't see any change in that, and the native part will probably be open as well. And that's what we really use internally as well. There is no secret magic or any other API that we do active covers and pulley menus and stuff. It's all in the Sailfish Silica. You can get it. And especially our guys in Australia that have worked with the QML runtime have been doing awesome job in getting it performing extremely well. So already in Qt 4.8 and X11, it runs really, really nicely, even on older device, like our chief technical officer, I think is Mark's title now, has been demoing Sailfish previously on this Nokia's developer device N950, and it runs just beautifully there. And now with modern hardware, it will be even better. So, and that, as a side note, by the way, my prototype is still kind of, it's not the latest and greatest, let's say. I want the latest and greatest next time. Then we have the basic stuff, like input methods. So we have our own virtual keyboard, of course, and we need something that we need to license, like text prediction is one of the features that is nowadays must have in virtual keyboards. Then there's like things like related to China input and various different kind of input methods, and we need to license stuff there. Home screen, which contains the events view and the integration to store. Then we have settings, then we have applications. On the middleware side, there's the first the Nemo middleware. And this is a selection I made. There's a bunch of other packages as well, but I think these are some of the key ones. So we have tracker for indexing multimedia files. We are not using it as much as N9 did, but we still use it. We have Mallet, and Mallet is a framework for building virtual keyboards, essentially. And we have Lipstick, and Lipstick is a framework for creating these home screen type of experiences. We have Krillo for multimedia sources. We have Gecko for browser. We have a bunch of QML plugins that we have written for Nemo, so that our application layer is actually really, really thin. The most of the stuff happens in the middleware layer, which is open. Our applications, the closed part is, well, the closed part is almost pure QML, just really little amount of logic in the C++. So most of it is in the QML plugins. David already told you about Mercore, and Mercore now comes with Qt 5 and Wayland, and that's what we are using. There's also multimedia stuff like GStreamer and Pulse Audio. There's Conman and Ofono for connectivity, and of course Systemd for starting up. And other than that, I think it's like a fairly normal Linux distribution other than a really, really, really narrow set of packages so that it's tight and optimal and something that even a small company like us can maintain. Then we have the SDK, which is based on Qt Creator and virtual machines. So we have a virtual machine for building, so-called build engine. And then we have a virtual machine for the emulator. And the emulator actually runs a full x86 version of the Selfish OS. So you can pretty much trust that behavior is similar to that in the real device. And you can kind of experiment quite a lot with it. All right, how do we do it? I guess you already know that it's not just by sitting home alone and coding. No, we need to collaborate a lot. And these are like the main projects that we collaborate with. When we started with Qt 4.8, and it was already a stable, relatively fast platform. So what we did was mostly just hardware-specific bug fixes and some optimizations, because our Silica guys, they knew that Qt 5 has this nice feature and we could use it. So we did a couple of backporting. But now we are going with Qt 5, meaning that that's not needed anymore. And our interest is mainly to get Qt 5 fast as hell on Wayland and on ARM hardware. Of course, we are a small company. Our main purpose is to ship the device, and then maybe we will survive and do more ambitious things with Qt and help more on the Qt upstream. As you could understand from David's talk, we are the main contributor to the MER project. And we love it. The other project, the NIMA project, we are a significant contributor there as well. But our contributions are more limited to the middleware layer. So the user experience in Nemo Mobile is done by a community of volunteers. And you know, some of the volunteers are from Jolla, but they do it on their spare time. The way of working. I mentioned a couple of times that we are a small company. This is what we did for the Chinese New Year. So apparently this is the habit to wish good New Year. And our Tampere office and Helsinki office gathered and posted these pictures to social media. So we have two offices, and then we have a bunch of people working from home offices from Australia, America, Poland, Holland, you know, all over the world. I mean, no, there's every time zone has at least one Silica coder or Selfish coder. Anyway, light process, not too heavy for engineering. We have good integration machinery. So the OBS and stuff really means that when I do a DAC, it's like a couple of minutes and the package is built. And if our integrator likes it, it can go and be promoted to next level of integration. We love QML. All of our UI is done with QML. That and good designers have really helped us in our target to create great user experience. And the way you do great user experience often requires a lot of iteration. You try something, it doesn't work, you improve it a bit. And to get that cycle as fast as possible, that's what the good integration machinery is needed for. And most importantly, we are not afraid of change. I mean, these strategy changes, they are changed, but they have helped us. Lastly, I think this open source way of working and open source itself, we wouldn't be here without the open source as such. And the setup, which is in all time zones, wouldn't work without the open source ways of working. So you do patches, you do pull requests, you communicate over IRC, you are getting used to the fact that the guy you work with is not sitting next to you. All right, thank you.
Thank you very much. And now some quick questions. You've got 5 minutes until next session, so there.
So, oi, that was my chair. It's a dynamic interface. Showing us the app launcher with those content panels there, and you've got all this these kind of hidden user controls that are dependent on gestures. How do you plan to make that discoverable for the broad base of users?
So you refer to pulley menu, and I think the idea is that people will understand that it's a common pattern throughout the operating system. So that whenever they go to the new application, they will kind of try it out. They will see there will be a small graphic on top, so graphical indicator that there is the pulley menu, and then you understand that now I can pull down.
Okay, and does that also apply to the kind of the four widgets in the grid that you showed us in the homepage?
Maybe you didn't see it that well, but there are small icons that illustrate the action that's associated with the gesture. Okay. So there will be like pause button and play button in the icon.
Okay. Second question. When Nokia was working on MeeGo, they had this whole ecosystem of contractors working on the middleware, things like Tracker and Mallet. How is it developing Sailfish without all these resources to maintain the rest of the stack for you? Is it still possible to get it to do what you want?
Yes, pretty much so. So we have been extremely lucky in our recruitment process. So we have been able to pinpoint key contributors from these teams and hire them. And in few areas we have had gaps. There has been some subcontractors that have been able to help us.
Thank you. Any more questions? We don't have that much time because we're going to have the next. So here, Marta.
This is a very quick question. What's the killer feature that is going to differentiate this phone from the Android and iOS?
Yeah, that's a good question. But I think Android and iOS are like first generation of touch devices. So the interactions are mostly like tapping on controls that are always visible. And our UI is more like gesture based. And when displays get bigger, the area of screen it gets more difficult for one hand use. But with gestures, you can pull down from anywhere. You don't have to hit specific spot. So that's one of the things. Then the multitasking is of course something that we have and both Android and iOS are kind of limited, Android by the battery and iOS in general. And, well, I think our user interface is much more beautiful, but I'm an engineer, so I wouldn't know.
Okay, so now the last question. Other ones, sorry, you have to ask Vesamatti yourselves, okay? Thank you.
The last and most important question. Can we check out the device that you have? Hands on. Thanks.
Thank you very much. Big hand.